Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to yet another retro Aotema. There's only three of these left now, and then we've completed all the three series and extras, and that's all we're going to do. So enjoy them while you can. We've got you through the lockdown number one. And we'll just get you into the start of lockdown number two, and then you're on your own, my fan friends. If you're enjoying these, you can catch what I'm up to now pretty much 3 to 4 nights a week on Twitch. Twitch.tv/RK Herring. Mondays, Wednesdays and Thursdays for sure. Doing snooker, doing Rahulastapas, and doing the new Ali and Herring's Twitch of Fun, which is the closest thing to As It Occurs to Me you're going to see for a little while. Do check those out. Do subscribe if you're with Amazon Prime. It's free and you can give us actual money at no cost to yourselves. Plus, we've got a Kickstarter going at the moment for self-playing snooker, but all the profits are going to live comedy clubs to help them through this difficult era. So head to rahulastapa.co.uk/Kickstarter and have a look at the fabulous rewards on offer, and take care and join in if you can afford to and want to and like snooker. All right, let's have a listen to what the me of June 2011 was prattling on about like a twat. As it occurs to me, as it occurs to me, as it occurs to me. And please welcome the man it's all occurred to, Richard Herring! Thank you very much, Shoya. I've been expectorating into the Prisoner of Windsor's cramp pots, and they'll never know. Hello and welcome to yet another episode of the internet stand-up and sketch show that all the Canadian baby sex secret keepers are calling
AI Anime.
It's the sketch show that's written in 8 hours, rehearsed once, and then just done in front of an audience, which is still more work than is put into any of Ben Elton's novels. But new listeners, this is not the place to start. Really, with this episode, you will get a wrong view of what this
It's a very sophisticated show, so please start from the beginning, download them all, they're all up there, and then wait till you get to this beautiful moment of Series 3, Show 4. It's because this is promised to be literally the most self-indulgent episode of the show in every way. Due to last week's punishment during the unpopular feature, The Moral Maze, I pledged that if the audience voted my bin porn antics immoral, I would masturbate over every page of a porn mag and then give it to a 14 to 17 year old member of our audience. Unfortunately, the audience did vote me immoral. This is out. It's not my choice. I'm an old man. My supplies of love porridge are scarce at best and very slow to replenish. It's not like it used to be. The Hustler porn mag that I've purchased is of such a soft nature that it provides my jaded libido with actual negative sexual excitement. So I've spent the whole of last week trying to fulfil my punishment. I'm only up to page 6 so far, so I'm still working it. Now, that's right, I am wanking as I say this, but luckily I'm not alone. In a strange and perverted tribute to Murder on the Orient Express that Agatha Christie couldn't have dreamed of inspiring in her worst nightmares, I'm joined in this Herculean task by two men whose powerful jizz has already impregnated two women, one each, not at the same time. And it's about to see if it can create life with a glossy two-dimensional photo. It's Dan Tetzel and Christian Riley. Blimey, Christian, you're like the Trevi Fountain today. Whereas Dan, more like a sherbet fountain. That was that's shooting dust. It's incredible.
It's my dib dab.
And although her withered old clack-a-lack-a-dack-dack has produced not one drop of sexual moisture in the 21st century, she's still having a little fiddle for us now. It's TV's wanking Emma Kennedy. Well done, Emma. That's amazing. That 0.1 milliliter of something partially fluid that you've oozed out of your vaginal pouch is very helpful. You know, I'm reminded at this moment of the parable of the widow's mite. You may not have given much, but you've given everything you had. I think Christian was holding back. There was tons. Christian gave tons, but there's loads more stored up that he's not given us. I think if Jesus had come up with this analogy, he'd have been a lot more popular than he turned out to be. But how many sketch shows have you heard which begin with the whole cast wanking off over a softcore porn mag? However many it is, it's not enough, that's for sure. We really have hit a new low, and I can only apologise for wrecking all of our careers. Believe me, I didn't want to do any of this. My hand has been literally forced by our depraved audience. The mag is nearly sufficiently soaked in sex excrement, although some pages were harder to get aroused to than others. The letters page, which I remember from Teenage Forays as being the best bit of these porn mags, was surprisingly unpleasant and anti-sexy. Take this genuine example from a slimy, confused and frankly racist letter that's going to be read verbatim. It came from T.A. of Illinois, and I can only apologise, this is genuinely in this edition of Hustler.
Is being the daughter of a famous actor what it takes for black women to get into Hustler? Don't get me wrong, I enjoyed Montana Fishburne's openness. And yes, I admit I have seen some chocolate goodness once in a while in your pages, but I want more. You should have at least one black girl pictorial every month. And while you're at it, let's have more Asians and Latinas too. Seriously, it is the 21st century.
Wasn't that a heartwarming plea for equality there at the end of that letter from an Illinois pervert? I'm not sure the civil rights cause has ever been so eloquently used to justify a man's masturbatory sexual peccadilloes. Seriously, it's the 21st century, and if that means that black women are not holding open their sex flaps with their fingers in equal numbers with their white and Asian and Latina sisters, then it will be like Martin Luther King died for nothing. Seriously, it's the 21st century. That's the argument. I think it's the new Naughty Dog did it, isn't it? That's the way of excusing any of the awful things you've said. This has been a horrible punishment for me from start to finish. Because of this stupid show and our awful audience, I've been forced to buy a porn mag from a shop for the first time in over a quarter of a century. It was humiliating and embarrassing. The day I bought it, I'd been having lunch with my girlfriend and her parents. I was trying to make a good impression. Oh, that was lovely dinner, wasn't it? Lovely lunch, thanks. Delicious.
Yeah. Did you enjoy that, Mum and Dad?
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, lovely restaurant. Yes.
Well, not as nice as your home-cooked food, though, Pat.
Oh, what a nice thing to say. Yeah.
Well, I'm a very nice and normal person, Pat. Perfectly suitable for your beautiful daughter. You don't have to worry. You haven't ever listened to any of my podcasts, have you?
No.
No, what podcast?
Nothing, nothing, never. Never listen to them, they don't exist. Do you understand? Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them.
Yes, yes, Warwick.
Stop gripping Dad's neck like that, Richard. You're hurting him.
Sorry, Chris. I'm a very nice person, so you've got no worries with me and your lovely daughter. So.
Good, good, good. Fancy dessert, Richard?
Well, I would love one, Christopher, but the problem is there's every cake or creamy pudding around, I really want to push your daughter's face into it. It's just like a compulsion, so...
Oh. Oh dear.
You must get that with Pat, you know, you want to push her in a pond sometimes, or hey, sometimes when you're waiting on a tube platform, you know, you just want to nudge her over the edge.
God no.
No, I mean no, not when the train's coming. Hardly ever then, but you wouldn't actually do it. Almost certainly you'd never go through with it. It's
maybe
just a compulsion.
You should just go, Rich.
Yeah, sorry, I do have to dash off.
Oh, you've got some work on, have you? Oh, yeah, you're very busy.
Sort of, Pat. It's quite a funny story, actually. I've actually got to go and buy a porn mag, so...
Oh.
No, don't get the wrong end of the stick. It's not because of any sexual problems with your daughter. That's all going full steam ahead, don't worry. Bang! That's me and her. Bang! Bang! That's what... I'm hanging out the back of her,
that
no promise.
Rich.
No, it's not even for me. It's not something I'd usually do. Either... No, it's perfectly innocent. It's just this week I've got to masturbate over every page of a porn mag and then give that semen-coated porn mag to a 14 to 17-year-old boy. That's...
No, that's disgusting.
No, it's not a specific 14 to 7-year-old boy. He'll be a complete stranger. I'll just hand it over to him. I don't even know his name.
Rich, could you just go?
What did I say? There's a back reference there to Christopher to the first show in the series,
right.
The Oxford Review sketch I did, I think.
Yes, I said
got
that.
To I, know, listen, I thought it might make you laugh.
I don't listen to your podcast.
Oh, you should. It's actually, no, don't listen to the
right,
podcast.
No.
Definitely don't listen to the podcast this week. Anyway, I've got to go. Bye.
Yeah, you stick with him, sweetheart. He's the best you're going to get. I'm very lucky, Mum.
You are. You are very lucky. But don't forget it. If you're listening at home, darling, don't forget it. You are. Like, so I headed out to buy the magazine. I went to Smith's. They don't even stock porn magazines in Smith's anymore. They have Zoo and Nuts. The hypocrites. But they didn't have any proper. So instead, I didn't want to do this, but I had to pop into a corner shop on the way back from lunch. I was genuinely feeling humiliated and sick with embarrassment about this. I was just hoping it wouldn't be a woman serving, but of course, I opened the door. It was. It was a lovely, respectable, middle-aged Indian lady in a sari. It was the worst possible... There were jazz mags there for sale up on a high shelf, a few of them. It was quite difficult for a short man like me to get up there. They are high up. I was about to reach up and grab one and make this as quick as possible when another customer came in. So I was going to have to wait until he passed. But then he just stood right beside me. And I saw he was looking up at the top shelf as well. And I thought, blimey, what's the chance? He's going to buy... a porn mag as well. In a way, that would make this easier. I nearly just nudged him and said, thank God, mate. Thought this was going to be embarrassing, but we're both buying porn, so no shame, any recommendations. But then he reached up, and I was still thinking, what a pervert. He's not even doing this for a podcast. This is for his own. He's actually going to wank over it and enjoy it. But he reached above the magazines to a higher shelf and picked off some kitchen towels that were up there. I don't know if they were placed there as kind of an impulse buy for the... for the casual masturbator. You only need one sheet. One sheet. I'd love to see that. So I was still the only wanker in the shop. So I waited till he was gone. I grabbed the magazine. Just looked the price, $4.99. I got a fiver ready. You did get a free DVD for that, though, which I thought was good value. I got my money ready. I took it to the counter, placed it in front of this lovely old lady. Because of you, this happened because of you. Your decision. I could sense her judgment already, but she picked the item up. Look, she was looking for the price. The DVD had slipped down inside the plastic cover and was covering up the than price. So I had to go, no, it's there, it's $4.99. She had to look at it. I just felt terrible. She looked appalled, embarrassed. I handed her the money, left. I didn't even take my 1p change. I was so embarrassed. I was too ashamed to say anything, trying to explain myself. But if I could turn back time, thanks to the magic of AI Optima, I can.
If I could turn back time, what would I do differently? If I could turn back time.
Hold on. I just realised I'm about to ask Emma Kennedy, the woman who nearly created a diplomatic incident with her Canadian accent last week, to attempt to impersonate an Indian woman. I don't think race relations in this country can take this. If I could, you know, if I could just turn back time 30 seconds, thanks to the magic of AI Ottima, I can.
If I could turn back time, what would I do differently? If I could turn back time.
I handed her the money, I left, I didn't even take my 1p change. I was too ashamed to say anything, though I should add at this point that the woman did speak during the transaction. It turned out that though she was a middle-aged Indian woman, she didn't have a very strong Indian accent. If anything, she sounded like a native Londoner.
If I could turn back time, what would I do differently? I'd travel back 30 seconds and add a codicil stating that the Indian woman did not have a strong accent, even though that's a lie. If I could turn back time.
So, with that codicil sorted out, back to the main turn back time issue. But if I could turn back time, thanks to the magic of AI Ottima, I can.
If I could turn back time, what would I do differently? If I could turn back time.
Just want to check you understand. We're back now. That one was in the middle, right? We're back now at the original turn back time that we turn back time for original. If anyone doesn't understand, we can turn back time and I can try and explain it more lucidly. No, I think we're okay. I'd like this, please.
Oh dear. I can't believe you're buying this.
Just take my money.
I can't even see how much it costs.
There, it's under the DVD. Sit down, just move that.
You make me move the DVD too. Oh, I see.
Look, I know you're making some assumptions about me here, but listen, this really is not for me. I do use pornography sometimes, but I get it from the internet for free. www.redtube.com is a good example. And without judgment, they have like little free clips. There's enough. There's enough. And it's much. It's much harder pornography than this rubbish hustler weak ass shit. So I'm only getting this so I can cover every single page with my semen and then give it to a 14, 17 year old boy. So don't judge me, okay?
Shame on you.
No, look, you are selling the stuff. You're making money out of this, so don't look po-faced at me. I think you're only trying to make me feel guilty, so I'll leave without my change and you'll make 1p, sweet. I've nothing to be ashamed of here.
Yeah. I don't care that you're buying porn. You should only be ashamed because of your choice of magazine. Hustler. They hardly ever have any black, Asian or Latino models. I mean, seriously, it's the 21st century.
If I could turn back time, what would I do differently? I would explain that I wasn't buying the porn mag for myself, but simply to reluctantly masturbate over every single page and then give to a 14 to 17 year old boy. If I could turn back time.
So I bought the magazine, here it is, and I've managed to cover every single page in jizz. As you know, it's still readable, only can open it up. Some of it's, the front cover's fallen off a bit. Could easily stick that back together again. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave that in this bin. There's a free DVD as well. There's that. Fair every week that I had it. I just had a look, just out of research purposes. Just not, not even any cocks in it, mate. It's not even work. It's rubbish. So I'll put that in the bin. If you are 14 to 17 years old and in the audience tonight, then if you want to sneak up and take that, that's up to you. I won't have given it to you. You'll have just been, I've thrown it away because it's disgusting. But you know, legally and morally, I won't be responsible for it. I'm like a modern-day magpus. I'm like, why don't I just pretend that was the joke? Magpus. Seriously, come on, it's the 21st century. Is there anyone actually? Is there anyone who is 14 to 17 can prove it and would like that? I mean, it'd be worth quite a lot of money one day. You've got your. I remember in the first half, that young man there said he was 16. I'll sign it for you. Be worth a lot.
You already have a lot of money.
Be able to. If I die, you'll be able to recreate, clone me off that. Be like. We'll just leave it. We'll leave it at the end of the stage.
If anyone wants to sneak up and take it, is there? There's a pre-porn film in there as well.
Yeah.
I did spunk on that as well.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
As it occurs to me, this week's show is writing itself, but you might not want to look too closely at the pen or the ink.
Anyway, no one's looking at you to sneak up and take it. Has anything occurred to you this
week?
Well,
I mean, two things. Dan, yeah? The first one, that you just showed that DVD, that free DVD that came with that magazine.
Yeah.
Magazine's Hustler, yeah. But the DVD appeared to be Penthouse. That says to me that maybe there was another magazine.
That was a ridiculous accusation. Obviously, they've just come to some agreement.
Right.
Yeah. So they're probably owned by... Who would buy porn magazines? I need harder stuff.
So they weren't doing a two-for-one.
Anyway, what happened to me? I was in my mother care, and there were two extraordinarily posh people in front of me, and they were so posh that they sort of had those white, pasty dough faces with just tiny raisin eyes. I don't know if you know, just big teeth and white. And couldn't tell what, you know, sex either of them were. They were just, you know, generic posh people. And posher than me. And they were talking so noisily that I thought they were talking such easy that I thought I might try and write some of this on my phone so I could say it here, funnily, you know. Like I'm supposed to be doing now. But I got my phone out and I realised that my toddler had been playing with it, and so it was covered in horrible sticky fingerprints, so I couldn't actually even enter the code onto my iPhone. And so it was at that point that the two posh people turned around and caught me licking my phone. It's true.
You don't want to lick my phone after it's a little sticky. Has anything occurred? Emma, before we get on to it, I just want to point out that in last week's show, you did state that Osama bin Laden was a hero to all Muslims. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to retract that statement.
Like Hitler's a hero to all Germans.
It's similar to that.
Yeah? That's
That's how it works.
You're really helping with international relations.
Who, me, what?
What's happened to you this week, Emma?
Well, you know that extraordinary story I told you before the show?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I can't tell it because it's unbroadcastable. And that's quite something coming from a woman who has stood here and happily told you about a turd falling through a floorboard that hits a kitchen floor below, and also told you a story about someone's penis being impaled with someone's brace. It is worse than that, and so bad, I can't tell you.
Wow.
No, I can't.
No. It's real tease.
I can't tell you. I can't.
Send a tweet on Abu! Off teasing them. At least I did the
if
porn.
If anyone's here after this, I'll tell you.
The porn mag has made them hungry for.
I've super injuncted myself.
Christian, has anything happened to you this week that you're prepared to talk about?
Somebody. I did a gig in Ipswich last night.
Wow.
Pretty. And a man came up to me in the toilets and said that he was a big fan of AI Art. So that's the end of the story.
So there's one person in Ipswich. You'll know who you are if you're listening.
Yeah, Stephen Wright.
I'll tell you, no, but he did. He emailed. He emailed me shortly after.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't give him my email address.
Wow!
I don't know how that happened. Anyway.
Sweet, it's all happening. I was, as I mentioned before in the first half, I was asked to be, if I wanted to appear on the next series of Dancing on Ice. which the audience here, more than half wanted me to do it. I turned it down because I can't dance and I can't skate. So I didn't think it was a good time to try doing both at once. I think it's a kind of insanity. Yeah, you'd like to see me on there?
I would, yeah.
Yeah. Not going to happen, I've already said no. And I would die, I'd lose my fingers, I'd fall over, break a leg.
Yeah, but more importantly, I would not stop laughing for about 6 months.
I'd be in Lycra, do you really want to see that? Yeah, fair point. They're churning. Anyway, let's see what else has occurred this week.
Thursday.
Seeing an advert for yet another cartoon movie about an animal with attitude and some magical or martial arts skill, I pine for a world with films about a cartoon animal with no attitude or surprising ability whatsoever. I actually came up with a screenplay called Attitudeless Badger. A boring mammal who toes the line, a solitary figure who moves from home to home, burrows underground, occasionally fights off predators, living on a diet of earthworms and insects. Although badgers have been known to become intoxicated with alcohol after eating rotting fruit, that would never happen to Attitudeless Badger, who would also refuse permission for his image to appear on merchandise of any kind.
Friday.
I went to see Seinfeld at the O2 Arena. The main talking point was the price of the tickets, £100 for 90 minutes of stand-up. It did seem steep, but then the cab I got home cost me £60, and the driver barely put two words together and said nothing funny at all, which put Seinfeld's pricing strategy into some kind of perspective.
Saturday.
The night after watching Seinfeld at the O2 with an audience of 14,000, I was doing a gig in Barking in East London in front of 27 people. That is show business. People were only paying £6 to see me, though. I think I was undervaluing myself. If Seinfeld can charge £100 of tickets to 14,000 people, then I should have charged those 27 people £51,851.85 each. Or does it mean that Seinfeld should be charging 1.15 pence to everyone? I don't know. But, you know, Seinfeld doesn't have too much money, so I don't begrudge him anything.
Monday.
It's come to light today that killer cucumbers are not, in fact, responsible for the deaths of all those German people. After all, it's actually E. coli-ridden bean sprouts that are the true culprits. Those Germans disgust me. I mean, I could almost forgive them for putting cucumbers up their asses. Any curious person might give that a try just once. They're the right kind of shape. But to attempt to get sexual kicks by putting bean sprouts up your bum, that is sick. They deserve what they get, those Germans. This is a dark day for Germany with their bean sprout laden anuses. It's surely the worst thing that any German has ever done.
As it occurs to me, don't download this. It is boring.
Fair assessment. This week's one-star iTunes review came from someone called Big Angry Posh Dan. was written entirely in capital letters. He's obviously so angry he didn't even have time to release his caps lock. That is how furious he is. It's nice that these one-star reviewers have taken time to include some autobiographical details in their monikers, but is Dan angry because he's big, or angry because he's partial, or a combination of the two? Or does his anger have no bearing on his size or status in society? We'll never know. Write another review.
Friday.
As already mentioned, I went to see Seinfeld at the O2 with the duplicitous careerist, Andrew Collins. somehow we both ended up with passes that allowed us into the after-show party with all the big stars. I never get invited to these things usually. I feel uncomfortable when I do. It was odd. It was an odd and awkward mixture of people who got access to this little room. Not that many. Like people like Ricky Gervais, I could understand. Angus Deaton and Cleo Rockus was also there. It was an odd... They all seemed to be together. It was an odd grouping of celebrities. There was an odd desperation in the air as everyone tried to work out their place in the pecking order. Collings, who would kill his own family to further his career, was in his element.
Oh, thanks so much, everybody. Thanks for inviting me, Richard. You are my best friend. Aside, you are not my best friend. You are my worst enemy, and I am only using you until I can find a slightly more famous comedian to work with. Then I'll be off! Thus, by leaping from comedian to comedian, in just 10 to 20 short years' time, I will have my own slot on the Six Music at 3 a.m.
Andrew, I can still hear you when you say aside. It doesn't stop me hearing.
Oh, look, there's the controller of Sky Comedy. I just have to talk to her quickly. I will come straight back. Aside, I won't. I will never see you again. Thanks for the ticket, loser. Aside, no thanks for the ticket, loser. My gratitude is insincere. Insincere!
I'd been snubbed by Collings. It was the first snubbing of the night. That one was okay. He was just playing the game like everyone else in the room, jockeying for position, hoping to hold on to their transitory celebrity, so their transient celebrity, so they might continue to be invited to slightly odd events, which no one really enjoyed. Maybe it was good that I was here. Maybe it was a sign that things were on the up, or maybe it was just a terrible accident and they'd just given me the wrong envelope when I got there. I sensed the other proper celebs knew I didn't belong, that I was an interloper to their exclusive club. I wouldn't usually do these things. Why was I there now? They were suspicious of me. Was I about to replace one of their number and become a regular, or was this a mistake? I was no Cleo Ruckus, was I? Let's face it. I met a TV executive that for once I actually recognised and remembered. This never happens to me. I got talking to her. I was complimentary. I said, things are going brilliantly for you.
Yeah, it's very exciting times for us at the moment. So many projects about to come off. I'm very optimistic for my future. I mean, some of these new shows are game changers. Game changers!
She went on about that for quite a long time. And I was polite. I just let her talk like that. And then before asking, she talked quite a lot, and then she asked me...
And what are you up to at the moment?
Oh, well, I'm writing a script for the BBC.
What's it about? Badgers? You said you
were... No,
never mind.
The other bit.
Oh my God, Richard Bacon! How are you? Sorry, I just ruined it.
Should we just go back? We'll just imagine that. We're going to do it. This is the first time. We're not going to edit it out, Ben. We'll just do it again. You've done the wrong bit.
Sorry.
It's quite crucial to the whole fucking...
If only we could turn back time in any way.
Are we allowed to do another turn back time? I don't think we're really allowed to.
Turn back time!
Wait. What would I do differently? I'd attempt to do that sketch again if I could turn back time.
Hello, is that Sally Phillips? Yeah, I was just wondering, I'm doing a new show called As It Occurs to Me, and I wondered if you'd like to be the girl one in it? Yeah, great, fantastic, brilliant, well, see you. Sorry, it was that.
Don't call me again!
I'm very optimistic for the future. She's talked about this for quite a long time before finally asking.
And what are you up to at the moment?
Well, I'm writing a script for the
Oh my God! Richard Bacon, how are you?
That was it. She was gone. No excuse. No excuse me. No, I'll be back in a minute. I thought maybe she'd just briefly say hello to him and come back to hear the answer to the question she'd asked. But I waited there for about 3 minutes, my mouth agape. She didn't bother. She went and talked to Richard Bacon instead. That proved my level of importance. And to add insult to injury, I've been deemed less important than Richard Bacon. I mean, he's a nice guy. And all. If it had been Ricky Gervais, fair enough. But he's just on Five Live. He's not anything to write home about. But in show business, there is no call for politeness or pretense. I've been shunned. It reminded me of a party I'd attended in 1999 at the Edinburgh Fringe when Steve Coogan had attempted to introduce me to the then controller of BBC Two, Jane Root.
Jane, do you know Richard Herring?
Jane Root didn't even acknowledge me. She just turned her back and carried on talking to someone else. It was at this point I realised we probably weren't going to get another series after Wurmringer. Not even hello, then a back turn. It was...
Do you know Richard Herring?
Back turn. So I suppose the fact that I'd been asked a question before the back turn this time was kind of a progress, wasn't it? Maybe in 10 years' time an executive will listen to my answer before shunning me. I'm never going to go back on telly, am I? Let's face it. Jerry Seinfeld was there amongst us, but only the elite felt high up enough in the pecking order to talk to him. Only people who'd been in films, really. Should I conform to that convention? What did I have to lose? This is my one shot. Hi, Mr. Seinfeld. How are you doing?
Hi. Sorry, do I know you?
No, but I know you. Doing the bass guitar thing from your
show. No one ever goes on about that.
Yeah, sorry, Jed. I guess that must get a bit boring for you. I know what it's like, actually, because I do a podcast that gets downloaded by about 40,000 people a week. Not 14,000, 40,000. And, you know, probably once every 14 months, some Muppet will come up to me and go... Rum, rum. It's so annoying. It's from a sketch I did. It was about a motorcycle clothing shop.
I haven't heard it.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one. It's as you like it. I go into a motorcycle clothing shop, even though I don't have a motorcycle or any interest in motorcycles. And then I say, hi, nice motorcycle clothing shop you've got here.
I don't think you need to tell me the whole sketch.
Really? People usually love hearing that. But anyway, people are always shouting out the catchphrases from the sketch.
Right, well, just tell me the catchphrase.
They shout, hey, Rich! Oh, yeah, I love motorcycling me. Some people like cycling on a normal bike, but not me. I say, why pedal around when you can have a bike that doesn't need to be pedaled with all engines and stuff? Ram, ram! Annoying.
And that's the catchphrase.
Yeah, they actually call me Richard. Oh, yeah, I love motorcycling me. Some people like cycling on a normal bike, but not me. I say, why pedal around when you can have a bike that doesn't need to be pedaled with all the engine and stuff? Rum, rum. Herring. I can't go 15 months without some chump saying that to me. It gets on my wick, I'm telling you.
Anyway, nice to meet you, but I got to...
Could you help me out, Jerry? Could you? It's just this week, I've got to ejaculate over every page of this porn now. Look, you can see I've done a few pages already. You couldn't help me out, could do a couple of the pages for me. I'm a bit embarrassed to ask, but the thing is, it's not for me. It's for a 14 to 17-year-old boy that I haven't met yet.
Yeah, sorry, I can't help you. I've actually made a bet with my best friends about who can remain master of their domain for the longest. Fuck it, I can't be bothered. Would have loved to have helped.
Lightly, so you're a fucking arsehole, Jerry Seinfeld. Oh, you won't do just one little thing for your fans, just one little wank off. Oh, fame's changed you, my friend. I'm glad I will never be as successful as you, prick. I moved on and sat in a corner by myself where I bumped into an old friend. Is that you, Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus?
Good. Oh, hello. I know you, don't I?
Of course you know me. It's Richard Herring from A.R.
Ottimer. Yeah. A.R. Ottimer. Yes, of course. How did you get in here? It's for the elite.
There's clearly been a mistake. Well, why were you crying? I hate to see an anus with a tear in its eye.
Oh, nothing. It's just the pressure of being a celebrity has got to me. Why can't the press just leave me alone?
Are you all right? Have you been offered any interesting work this week?
Well, I've been asked if I wanted to do Dancing on Ice.
Oh, yeah. You going to do that?
No, yeah, well, I might.
Yeah, but you're right, you sound really ill.
I'm fine, I'm brilliant.
You really look awful, Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus, even for a disembodied anus. You're all shivelled up, more than usual, I mean.
I'm fine. I am anus. Hear me up!
I'm not sure, you know, that the bottom balloon knot is supposed to live a disembodied life. You might hate Pippa Middleton for overshadowing you, but yes, the irony is you need Pippa Middleton and her buttocks to live. Surely fame isn't worth dying for.
It's worth everything. Look at me, I've made it here at a party on a par with Cleo Rockus and Richard Beacon. Do you see Pippa Middleton's buttocks here? No, you don't, because I am the best.
Don't you see this is all ephemeral and meaningless? Look at the hollow looks in all these celebrities' eyes. They're not happy. They're so terrified. Andrew Collins is quite happy. This is actually the best night of his life. But you'll never get as high as this again. But they're so terrified that this might all disappear. They're not even able to enjoy it when it's here.
I am. Andrew
Collins. Again, maybe he does. Your lust for fame might kill you, Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus, and as you die, you'll realise that the thing you strive for your whole life wasn't worth a fart. A fart! And am I the only one concerned for Pippa Middleton, who's now spent a month without an anus? I mean, she's got no bum cloaca. I mean, that doesn't bear thinking about.
Oh, it's nice that you care, Richard. Everyone else here is just interested in themselves, but you care about others.
I do.
You're better than Jesus. And 10 times as humble.
12 times.
Oh, think about what you've said. Anyway, what have you been up to?
Oh, well, I'm still trying to write my...
Oh, my God! It's Ryan Giggs' dismembered penis. Hey, Ryan Giggs' dismembered penis. How's it going?
Not so hot, thanks, Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus. I mean, you chose discarnation. I can't say it. Discarnation. I've had it forced upon. I've had a bit chopped off. That's what I'm saying.
Still, the two of us could get together and maybe be on the cover of Hello.
Poor little Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus. What will become of her? So snubbed, even by... it's like an allegory about fame. I don't know if you saw it. So we're following a journey over the series. I wonder what... wonder what happened at the end. Even I don't know yet. But my place in the pecking order, I'm beneath Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus. Let's face it, I'm never going to be on the telly.
As it occurs to me, the first and only podcast to be put on a register. Oh yeah.
Right, let's go down into the audience to see what has occurred to them this week, and do try and be interesting, remember that. Has anyone got anything that's occurred to them this week? Just put your hand up. I can see a hand right over there. Looks like a long-haired, bearded gentleman. Surprise. What's occurred to you, Jesus?
It occurred to me that the gentleman I sold 6 pornographic magazines to only had one arm.
It occurred to you, the gentleman you sold 6 pornographic magazines to a gentleman who only had one arm. How many arms will he have after he's got through those 6? Were you selling him a car boot sale, or do you work in a newsagent?
I work in a corner shop.
You work in a corner shop. It wasn't me. I've got 2 arms. I bought 1 magazine. That's all right. He can manage with one. That's all right. Don't manage with one arm, can he? That's fine. It's nice.
How's he turn the pages?
Oh yeah. Anyone else got nothing else has occurred? There's a one-armed man putting his hand up there. Oh no, 2 arms. He's got 2 arms. What, another man with a beard. What a surprise. Yes, sir. What's occurred to you this week?
What occurred to you?
Your mum washed the dog. This could be going anywhere, let's face it. Where's the soap? Yes, it does. She trimmed his whiskers.
And now he walks into the door.
Because that's how they guide. That's cats, though, isn't it? I thought that they guide themselves with their whiskers, right? That's how they know how wide they are, right? That's basically what you're talking
dogs
about.
Dogs to
ducks. It's nice. We learn a lot at this. I don't think there's any other accent I'd be allowed to do what I'm doing. I don't think I'm really allowed to do this one. It's because an animal judges its distance by the length of its whiskers. Did you know that? And so that interesting story has all taught us something about biology. If you trim a dog's whiskers, it will not know how wide its own head is.
That's a fact. You look at me bemused, but that's we haven't colluded on that brilliant story, unbelievably. Anyway, is the porn mag still in there? Is anyone is still there? You can just sneak and take it. No one, if you want it, darling, you can take it. It's all right. Girls can look at it too. There's still, like, some of the pages are ripped up and stuck together. You can still look at some of them. There's some good articles in there. Anyone else got something that's occurred to them? It's a reticent audience. There's a grey-haired, bearded gentleman. You were in the kitchen with your lovely wife?
Nearly.
Ooh, hello. She's next door neighbour's wife. so you're here. You were in the kitchen with your fiancé.
Yeah, and we were pouring out. I poured out some cereal.
You poured out some cereal and into a bowl.
Into a bowl.
Yeah, that's good. Just to get it right. Yeah.
A live mouse popped out.
A live mouse popped out of the cereal. Yeah. Had the mouse got into the cereal in your home or from the factory? Do you think?
No, it's still alive. So in the home.
In the home. Yeah. Well, it might have lived in there. It'd be nice, isn't it? So you got mouse. What you're telling me? You live in a filthy house. You're hoping this woman will marry you. You live in a filthy mouse-ridden. Did you eat the cereal or did you throw the cereal away?
No, I threw the cereal away.
What happened to the maps?
Well, we thought it was a free gift or something.
He thought it was a free gift. That would be a nice free gift. They should put that. They should put that in with beans to make bean sprouts more popular. Put some mice in there. Well, that's very interesting. I think that's a better story than the rest of the audience are giving you credit for. But they're a difficult audience to prove. They're difficult to please this week. And now you've seen how. That's just one story from your life that's taken 2 minutes. Imagine after a fucking hour of this shit every week, and the fucking gratitude you get. Wankers. Anything, we'll go for one more. If there's another. Oh, well, there's a man who has no... He hasn't got a hair on his head or body. What said that? Has he broken the beard rule? No beard.
I can't even grow one.
You can't even grow a beard. Incredible. What's your name?
Tom.
Sorry I didn't ask anyone else's name, but Tom looks friendly and I like him. What's occurred to you this week, Tom?
It occurred to me this week that I was getting stoned with my brother.
You're getting stoned with your brother? That is illegal.
We were faced with a very difficult quandary.
You were faced with a difficult quandary? What was it?
It was a would you rather question.
Would you rather question you were asking?
Would you rather sleep with a child?
So nice. He looks so nice. Are we prepared to... I mean, maybe we should... It's lucky I got his name. Maybe we should carry on for evidence. Just for evidence.
Let's hear the second part of the
would
other
you rather,
roar.
The quandary was, would you... Maybe next week's moral maze, this, you never know. Would you rather sleep with a child... Have sex with a child...
Or not
have sex with a child. Or not have sex with a child. No, I mean not. It's a good way of trapping paedophiles. Get them stoned. Would you rather have sex with a child or not so much? Sorry, not. Or not, but...
Or have everybody else you know think you did.
Or think... Horrible person. I can only apologise.
What is that like, Rich?
Would you rather have sex with a child or not have sex with a child, but everyone thinks you did? Do you want an answer from me? Not have sex with a child. I'd rather not have sex with a child. If it's a trick, I'm past it. What did you decide?
We were stuck.
You were stuck? Thank God he can't grow a beard. That's all I can say is...
So you're saying that the act of paedophilia is worse. It's not as bad as the annoyance of having to sign on every week.
It would be, it's an interesting moral quandary, but the fact you thought it up is weird. And you're not going to be allowed to come again. Mind you, if we said that paedophiles couldn't come and see this show...
It's mainly
it's like we're looking. Some people are going for the pink pound. Some are going. We're trying to get the money off the paedophiles. That's our main audience.
And a zoophiliac, so there we go. Yeah.
Good. Well, I think we'll move on, shall we? Now it's time.
fittingly, now it's time for the moral maze.
It's a moral maze, it's a moral maze, it's a moral, it's a moral maze, it's a moral maze. When morals get hazy, our scruples get lazy, our conscience goes crazy. We wish we could swap places with the cock of Jay-Z. We get trapped in the mazy. It's a moral maze, it's a moral maze, it's a moral, it's a moral maze, it's a moral maze. Moral maze!
This, yeah, the best bit. It's the only way. It's the only reason we do this every week, because the song's so good. This week on The Moral Maze, counterfeiting semen.
It's a moral maze, it's a moral maze, it's a moral, it's a moral maze, it's a moral maze. Counterfeiting semen!
And you may laugh, but tonight's moral maze is a serious issue indeed, because the possible transgression against morality I have made this week challenged the authority of the moral maze itself. Last week it was declared I acted immorally, as we know by leaving that porn mag in the bin and the punishment we've all heard about. But the majority of last week's audience deemed my leaving a porn mag in a bin being immoral, even though it obviously was moral. Is the majority always right? That's what I ask you. Were the majority right when they crucified Jesus? On that case, they were. That's not a very good example. I must confess, I felt carrying out the punishment was potentially a bigger moral crime than the one I'd been found guilty of committing. I felt that if I did that, I might be judged in a court of law, and ultimately by God himself. I decided that whilst I would buy the porn mag and give it to a 14 to 17-year-old boy if one wanted it, that I could not do that if the magazine was coated in the semen of myself or other gentlemen. There are health and safety implications, at least. So, instead, last night, I spent about an hour mixing some flour with some water, and then I smeared it page by page over that magazine in my kitchen sink. It was one of the most humiliating and awful things I've ever had to do. To be honest, in many ways, this felt more disrespectful to the women in the magazine than daubing them with my actual cock juice. I felt especially bad when I was forced to splatter my this rudimentary glue over a non-pornographic article about the late Diana Dawes. That seemed it seemed disrespectful to her memory. And yet, ethically, was that really any worse than genuinely giving a semen-sodden clump of pornographic material to a minor? I honestly don't know. I can't tell this. I've transgressed the moral maze itself. I've not carried out the punishment. If I can just willy-nilly not carry out, literally willy-nilly not carry out the punishment that's been bestowed on me, then it's meaningless. So what do you think, guys?
Well, I mean, you made a promise last week that you were going to wank over every single image in that magazine. But I would say that it's dangerous. This is absolutely true. In a museum in Glasgow, there is a penis in a box. This is absolutely true. And
what,
it's of a man.
In Glasgow, I find it very hard to believe.
In a Glasgow museum. And it's of a man who wanked himself to death. It's absolutely true. The makeup lady on This Is Jinsey was sent by her art school to draw it. And I said, don't be ridiculous. A man can't wank himself to death. And she was Scottish. She said, oh, no, Emma, I've seen it with my own eyes. It was in tatters.
So he wanked himself to death and then they
wanked
cut off his penis.
To death and then they cut it off. So
he was dead.
That could have happened to you.
Could have done.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you agreed to live by the judgment of the moral maze. Who are you to judge whether the moral maze is there to judge you?
But what if the moral maze itself is corrupt? Maybe the 3 weeks of power, the moral maze.
Look, this is
two
just,
moral mazes,
it's just
the moral
the
maze.
Who's to say
you've blown my mind? Literally blown my mind.
Who watches the moral maze men? That's what I ask you. They might have just done that because they wanted me to go
That's
through
true.
The trouble of masturbating.
Well, of
it wasn't a moral
did.
Decision.
Well, look at them. Of course they did.
Yeah.
You're an idiot, Henry.
Well, anyway, now it's time for you, the moral maze audience and jury, to decide. If you deem me to have been immoral by not masturbating over the magazine as promised, I will be punished by at some point this week having to strip naked and be covered from head to foot in a gloopy mixture of water and flour whilst being filmed apologising to the late Diana Dawes. Now wait. It's up to you, the audience. And remember, this is a sacred task here. You must vote with what you think is the correct answer, not think I would like to see that video. So I will make this happen. You have to decide what you would really want. So you can either vote that I was moral, immoral, or amoral. or and there'll be a vote about whether you understand whether what the difference between amoral and immoral is. You've had 4 weeks to look it up and try and get it clear in your mind. So if you think that by counterfeiting the semen, and now do you want the magazine now that you know it's not actually semen on there? There might be semen on one of the pages. No, what, you still don't want it? You can clearly see some naked, a lady's vagina in there with some flour on it. So if you think I acted morally, will you please cheer now? Yay! Not looking good. I'm hoping the amoral will win. If you think I acted immorally, cheer now. Cruel. If you think I acted amorally, cheer now. Yeah. I didn't, I understand the rest. If you don't know the difference between being amoral and immoral, cheer now. So that came second. So anyway, the moral phase has spoken. The result is I was immoral.
It's a moral maze, it's a moral maze, it's a moral, it's a moral maze, it's a moral. Richard's actions were immoral.
Good, I'm delighted. Now, you're bad jury. Now, don't go, step away from that, that microphone and guitar, Christian, because now it's time for your topical song. Christian Ryan, ladies and gentlemen, give him a round.
Thank you. Okay, so this is about my dislike of talent shows, reality TV, and tabloid newspapers. And it peaked this week. I saw a Sun headline, and it was a message from James Hobley. Hopefully you don't know who that is. He's a dancer, and he was a finalist in Britain's Got Talent. And the headline said, James Hobley, judge me on dancing, not my autism. Just seemed a bit cynical to me, you know, just reminding everyone that he's got autism and then saying, but don't let that influence you when you come to voting, okay? Anyway, it turned out they judged him on his dancing. And he came second. If they'd have judged him on his autism, he would have had the edge. That's all I'm saying. I just thought I'd set that whole thing to music. Okay. My brain is always dancing down non-mainstream narrow pathways. It's been quite a challenge being in my head, but that's just my backstory. So when you're watching me performing, try to forget everything that I just said. But don't judge me on my struggle with early adversity. Oh baby, when you vote for me, judge me on my dancing. Don't think about the strain that is placed on my family. Oh baby, when you vote for me, judge me on my dancing. I just can't imagine why I mentioned I'm autistic. I just can't imagine why I mentioned I'm autistic. Just dig my funky dances. Don't judge my synapses. Don't focus your attention so narrowly. It's just the way I do cognition. I love repetition. My favorite comedian, Stuart Lee. Don't think about my hard fight. Don't think about a long fight or what I could do with $100,000 tonight. Just focus on my dancing. Try to make out like you really care while you sit there in your armchair while I'm live on air. Dancing on a televisual semicircular toilet mirror. Judge me on my dancing, not my autism. Seriously, it's the 21st century.
There. He picks the unusual targets there. Many other people having a go at Simon Cowell, that little boy. Let's pick on that guy. So that's very nearly the end of the show. You just have two more chances to see A.I. Ultima live, probably ever, at the Leicester Square Theatre on June the 13th and June the 20th. Book now, especially for the last one, which is selling very well. If you can't get down here, you can show your gratitude by buying some of my stuff from www.gofasterstripe.com, for example. Ben, our producer, would like to remind you that Pappy's Flat Chair Slamdown is now available online. The first episode I'm in, I'm brilliant in it. I won't give away who wins, but I'm the best. If you want to go and see Andrew Collings in that, that's tomorrow on Tuesday night on the, what, the 7th of June. He'll be one of the contestants. Have you got anything to plug, Dan?
Oh, not really. I mean, I do have a website of my own, tedsall.com, and I've got one of those embarrassing Amazon affiliate programs going where people click on a link on my thing and it goes, and I get a little nothing. It's been a year, nothing. So if you do ever want a copy of, you know, After You've Gone with Nicholas Lyndhurst or second series of Homage to Lily, I mean, if you do want, or Hyperdrive, any of those great... any of the great shows I've been involved in, just think about it.
Or anything, because I think the best we ever did with that was someone came via richhang.com and bought a load of sound equipment or something, and then we ended up getting
freezers, fridge freezers
or something. £10, £50.
Videos.
Yeah, so if you're going to buy an expensive item, click on Dan and Ted's. That's the least you can do for him. It won't cost you a thing. Emma, have you got anything you'd like to plug?
Yes, tomorrow I'll be at David's Bookshop in Letchworth. David's Bookshop. Yeah. Reading and chatting about Lucky I left David. My tent with San Francisco.
There are lots of bookshops in Letchworth, so make sure you do get the
David's one.
David's bookshop.
Christian, anything to plug?
I'll be here next week.
Next week. And,
I think there's a free podcast you can download of what we've just done.
Wow, that's good. That's good to know.
I don't know. Actually, I'm in Nottingham this weekend at the Glee Club. So,
yeah, hey, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Nice.
Who are you
big
see?
Time. Ipswich, Nottingham. What? Where next? Get to play Andover. Cool. Anyway, so that's about it. That's another nail in the coffin of this podcast. Another paragraph of the longest suicide note in history. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Hold on, Rich. Before you finish, I feel I owe you an apology.
My goodness, it's you, the important executive who snubbed me at the Seinfeld after show party.
Yeah, Rich, I feel awful afterwards, and I realise I've been very rude to you and you didn't deserve that.
Oh, come on, I don't know about that. It was a party, we were all a bit drunk.
No, it was shameful. I mean, you must have felt awful to be snubbed like that, and for Richard Bacon, yeah, it must have made you feel pretty low.
Did.
Rich, introduce me to her. I might get some work on one of her shows.
Have you met Dan Tetzel?
Anyway.
Oh, she turned her back. Oh, she just turned her back on me.
Check on, Dan Tetzel. Super snub. No TV shows for you.
Oh, I just want to be on the telly.
So, Rich, I was rude. I asked you a question and I didn't wait for the answer. So what are you up to at the moment?
Well, funnily enough, I'm writing a new script about a badger.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That Canadian couple who won't reveal the sex of their obviously male child.
Hello, eh?
That's us. Though our baby might be a girl, we're not seeing, eh?
We'll never tell anyone what sex he is.
Or she is.
Even when he has a beard and no breasts.
Or a breast and no beard.
Aye.
I know last week I sprung this on the Canadian thing on you a bit, but you've had like a whole week to do some research and practice those accents. Is that the best?
Yes, the best one.
Well, it's really cool to meet you. You're scarcely celebrities at all, but you're still more of a celebrity than Richard Herring. So by the laws of TV networking, I must talk to you, even though I have next to no idea what you're actually saying.
Actually, we had an idea for a TV show. It's called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Well, all you have to do is make us reveal the sex of our baby.
Hey, it's about us and our baby. No one knows what sex he is.
Or she is. And people, they come on and they try to trick us into revealing his gender.
Her gender. We don't reveal any of it. And then we shout at the people, if you're being so fascinated about what's between her baby's legs.
Why is everybody so obsessive about his penis?
Her penis.
Yes, about her penis. But if they... Swedish, yeah, that's right. It's a big Swedish community in where we come from.
But if they trip us that way and we reveal that he is a boy, then they will a million poons.
I love it. Commission 100 episodes. Oh. Anyway, look, I'm off to a big party and little Chris will be there. And Ryan Giggs's dismembered penis.
Or a vagina.
Fancy coming along? Hold on. We need someone to host the show, and I think I know the perfect person.
Yes.
Keith Allen.
No. I don't care. I don't even want to be on the telly. I've never wanted that. If anyone tells you I have, they've been lying. I don't feel comfortable amongst celebrities. I'd rather spend a night, seriously, I'd rather spend a night drinking with you, the audience here at the Leicester Square Theatre. Don't get all sentimental about that. I'd hate to drink with you. You're strange, socially awkward. Some of you discuss whether you'd have sex with the child or not. And obviously in a way that hoping you'll make it go, yeah, I'd have sex with a child, yes, I would. And you stink, and most of you have got beards. I just prefer to drink with you than celebrities. It's like the way that having shit is better than having diarrhea. Anyway, instead, I'm going to go home and on my own and throw flour and water over articles about dead movie stars. So that's what I prefer to do. Good night. Thanks for coming.
And the curse was written by Star Richard Corley and performed by Dan Preston and YouTube Johnny Conway. Richard Riley did all the musical bits. It was produced by Ben Walker with thanks to Damien Caldwell, Matt Ricardo and everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre. Special thanks to Orange Mark at the British Comedy Guide. This is an Avalon Sky Potato Fuzz production.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.